Once upon a time, a student asked his master, "What is the difference between one who has wisdom and knowledge and one who is enlightened?" The teacher immediately responded, "Easy. The one who has wisdom and knowledge is the one who carries a candle into the darkness and lights the way. The one who is enlightened is the one who has become the torch itself." Then the master eyed the student carefully and asked, "Which are you trying to become?" In today's gospel, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Up to this point in their journey with Jesus, Peter, James, and John see themselves as good and faithful disciples who are happy just to carry candles for Jesus. But true discipleship is to become the flame itself. In today's readings, Peter, James, and John get a divine glimpse of Jesus as king, as foretold by the prophet Daniel, one like a son of man, receiving everlasting dominion from God. But curiously, they see the glory of the resurrection, but they see it without the cross that Jesus must endure. In his excitement, Peter wants to stay in the present moment and celebrate this resurrection scene by building tents and creating monuments. But the voice that spoke at Jesus' baptism interrupts Peter, saying, "This is my beloved Son, on whom my favor rests. Listen to him." The message is simple. Listen to him and no one else in history. That is, no matter what happens in history, listen to him and no one else. And as the disciples are flat on their faces, overcome with fear, Jesus comes forward and lays a hand on them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." As if to say, "Arise and live without fear. Love without fear." The Transfiguration story is a way of life that we are all called to imitate. We are all called and meant to transfigure the earth, our relationships, the church, and to be transfigured by others. We are to bring life out of death, liberation out of injustice, light out of darkness, and hope out of despair, to do more than carry the light, but to be the light itself. This is the promise of resurrection witnessed by Peter, James, and John. And it is the promise that surrounds us in every moment and with us in baptism and in Jesus everywhere present in the world. The word resurrection means to stand behind or to stand up for. As such, Jesus stood behind Jesus, behind his words, his actions, his life, and his death. God stood behind him and caught him, taking away any hold that death could have on him. And now the Father stands behind us, our words, our actions, and our death. The resurrection is a mystery. It is a mystery that can be contemplated, studied, intellectualized, and ritualized. But it is one that must be internalized. That is, just as we must use our gifts of reason to contemplate mystery, the resurrection is something that we must wrap our hearts around. Once upon a time, a renowned biblical scholar who, as a young student, remembered struggling through an intense theology course on the resurrection accounts. As Holy Week approached, her professor instructed that after the Good Friday services, each student should find a graveyard, tomb, or mausoleum to visit, and for at least 3 hours, meditate and reflect on what happened to Jesus in the tomb and what the resurrection meant. It was a bleak, cold, and windy day. The student picked a huge national cemetery to visit and found herself in an alcove, somewhat protected from the rain and the drizzle. She spent the whole afternoon staring at a weather-beaten stone grave with only feelings of sadness and loneliness and the cold seeping into her bones. When asked in class the following Monday what she had learned, she honestly confessed she didn't know how the resurrection occurred. But she said that somewhere in the sadness of that cemetery, she knew that there was a resurrection, and that it gave her a taste, a sign of eternal happiness that she hoped that one day she would understand. A decade later, that same student was studying for her PhD in scripture and found herself again examining the resurrection texts, where she was assigned to write a paper explaining the resurrection. And after several attempts and frustrations of writing this paper, she decided to escape the university and seek inspiration at a nearby cliff overlooking the ocean. Well, no sooner had her inspiration began to well up within her than a busload of young boys on a field trip unloaded in a parking lot below her. The children poured out of the bus with their backpacks and their loud voices. And just when she thought to move to another space, she noticed that all the boys looked to be between the ages of 6 to 12. And what was most intriguing was that each one of them had a huge helium-filled balloon on a long string tied to their wrists. For some unknown reason, however, her attention focused on one boy in particular, who looked content as he knelt down to retie his shoelaces. And in the midst of that, the balloon string slipped from his wrist and headed for the sky. The boy just stood there, a picture of absolute loss and dismay, as he watched his treasure slip away. His fist bunched up and his face contorted, and as he was about to let out a good cry, suddenly another boy noticed the soaring balloon and shouted, "Hey guys, look, Joshua just found out that they're better if you let them go." In a matter of seconds, 40 to 50 brightly colored helium-filled balloons were lofting away, with many heads upturned, intent on watching them simply go. And Joshua's face had turned from dismay to joy. My friends, this story was about a moment in history. But in that moment, it has stayed with me forever since, because in this story was an image of the resurrection. What appeared to be disastrous, hopeless, and desolate for one person was redeemed by another. As Julian of Norwich said of the crucifixion and the resurrection, "The worst conceivable thing has happened, and it has been mended." In other words, We can never fear that the worst in this world has yet to come, because it already has. And it has been redeemed by the mercy of God.